using her skills as a licensed mental health counselor, Dr. Lisa helps people live happy, fulfilling lives full of creativity and excitement. Do you believe that each person has a unique personality that needs to be explored in order to maintain a satisfying and successful life? Good, because the doctor is in.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Lisa's World. I'm back. I have a topic that I really need to discuss with my listeners, and it's become much more apparent during this time of year that we have estranged families. I work with both mothers and fathers who have been alienated from their children based on a history of vitriol and conflict in the family, typically after separation and divorce. So I became involved in this field in 2009. I don't like to count the years, but it's been a while. And I think that at this point I've realized how important a third party observer can be in the life of a child who's going through a separation and divorce. So what happens is the typical procedure is, because I'm a certified parental coordinator since 2009, I have worked in this area, but I haven't really specialized and I haven't focused. I've been working in other fields, addiction. I work with children with developmental disabilities. I've worked with couples in relationship counseling. But at this point, I think with the number of tumultuous divorces, and I find that in the area that I work in Staten Island, there are very few certified parental coordinators available. So I've decided that I need to focus more. The children of the divorced parents are the ones who are actually the victims in all this. We're all adults, and when we have an issue, we get married, we have problems, we file for divorce, we move on. But the children are the ones that are caught up in the storm. So I always try to focus on the children and try to talk with the parents as best I can about how the children are really the ones that we need to focus on. So after listening to countless stories, differing opinions, you get pulled into this vortex of confusion and defensiveness and anger and who faulted who and who cheated on who. You become somewhat understanding of how these divorced couples got to where they're at. But what I really tried to impress upon the couples, the mom and the dad, are that you chose to divorce, but your child didn't choose for you two to be divorced. I talk to people who are 25 years old and will say that they still wish their parents were together. Their life has not been easy. They've got separate households. The parents get remarried. They have half brothers and sisters, step brothers and sisters. They've got grandparents that aren't their biological parent. They have a world that has become the choice of their parents, but their choice would always be to have a quote unquote normal, happy, functional family. So I try to understand how the parents cannot really grasp what their kids are going through. And then we get into the true syndrome, which occurs, which is the parental alienation syndrome. We go from the breakup to the divorce proceedings, to child custody issues, to child support. And then what happens, and it's not right away, it's very subtle, we can clinically diagnose parental alienation syndrome. So going back to when this was first established or we first learned about it, Richard Gardner is a medical doctor, he passed away. He coined the term parental alienation syndrome in 1985. He has written 41 books, 200 journal articles. He is the expert. Since 1992, we have a book, which I use as my Bible, Parental Alienation Syndrome. He was the first to really recognize that this is a thing, and it extends beyond the mother and the father. It goes into the world of the children. I have cases right now, and I could spend the entire time talking to you about my new grandparent cases, which is very near and dear to my heart because I have six grandchildren. So I have two grandparent cases with the grandparents have broken hearts. Because of the alienation of the father, what's happened is the grandparents are then excluded because they make it a package deal. So the alienator says, the dad's not a good guy. We have to remove the dad. So once we remove the dad, then we're going to remove the grandparents as well. Aunts, uncles, cousins, anyone that's connected to the family that they're trying to eliminate because they only want to control the children with their own family, the grandparents end up victims as well. So this can be manifested as fear. Sometimes it's just hostility, disrespect. It's really emotional abuse to the person that's being alienated. And I believe the extended family members, whoever else is involved. We have a DSM, which is the Diagnostic Manual for Psychological and Mental Health Counselors. This is how we diagnose what your symptoms are, and then we put a name on it. It's the code that we use. Insurance companies use it. People tell me, oh, what code do you think I am for the purpose of the insurance company paying my mental health counselor? So we know that it's kind of a generic code that we all use, but there is one since Gardner was able to actually come up with a term, and he backed it up with all his research. He was a clinical professor of child psychiatry at Columbia University, so he's well known. He was certified in general psychiatry, but also child psychiatry. So he was able to take this syndrome and diagnose the children based on the symptoms that they present, which I'm going to actually explain those to you. So the code is in the manual. It's child psychological abuse, and it's defined as extreme anger towards the other parent. So we have the case in the intake process where I find out exactly what happened. What are the aggressions? How many orders of protection? Is Child Protective Services involved? Are the attorneys involved in the alienation? Because sometimes that happens. The alienator could be the attorney that absolutely despises the other parent for whatever reason. So we have to kind of focus on the children and go back to their symptoms. So what I do is in the intake process, I start with the mother, who's usually the custodial parent, and I speak with them. They have to talk to me for an hour. I base it pretty much on how much they have to say, but they would probably talk to me all day if they could and tell me their side of the story. Then I talk to the father, and then in person, I interview the children. So forensic psychologists, they take the whole family. They research the case. They study all the case information, whatever occurred in family court or Supreme Court. And in the divorce, sometimes you can see how this alienation will come about. The reason is the vitriol between the two people can sometimes give us this scenario of we are never going to be friends. We are never going to co-parent. We are not going to attend functions in a public place. I will never speak to your father again. So these are the things that are kind of the ingredients, I would say, to a parental alienation syndrome developing. And I have a checklist I go down. And now, because I've been doing this for 17 years, I know from the minute I speak to the adult, whichever male or female, doesn't matter, I know which way the case is going to proceed because they, number one, don't want to talk to me. So the alienator has decided anyone that gets in their way of creating this scenario for their child, that the other parent is a villain, is going to have to be eliminated. It makes sense. I'm the one that's saying, well, I don't see there's any acts of violence, physical assault, verbal aggression. The father pays for his portion of all of the expenses. You live in the house. You got the house rather than the father remaining in the house and throwing the mother out and the children out into the streets. We don't have a case of homelessness. So I'm looking at the total picture to see where this resentment came from. Because the fathers, I always say fathers because I have actually more fathers right now as clients than I do mothers. It's like 10 to 2. The fathers are becoming this enemy and this perpetrator. And then we have allegations that aren't true. And without a camera, without a Ring camera or a phone to record what's going on, the alienators make up stories that can't even be verified. For example, they will say, well, this is what happened on this day at this time. I have one case. Everyone but the father states in the case that the father broke the mother's foot. So I have to go by what, not only what they tell me, but do you have a medical record? Do you have photographs? Do you have a police report? Was a domestic incident report filed? Did Child Protective Services know that the kids watched this egregious act happen? Sometimes it's sexual, sometimes it's inappropriate touching, sometimes it's another family member got involved with the child in an inappropriate way. So we go by the evidence. The true heroes in this war, who has to come out of this, are the innocent children. Because typically when I talk to the children, they don't believe that the other parent is as much an enemy as the parent who's raising them does. So whoever's feeding them, whoever's housing them, whoever's taking care of them, they keep giving them instructions, okay? So they give them a way to create a case in their own experience, but they make it the child's experience so that the child believes that the father has been abusive. What we have to do then is confront them, whoever's made up this allegation, and we try to have a conversation about the possibilities and the realities of what these kids are telling me, and then we get resistance. Once I get to the point of, how did this happen? When did it happen? Do you have proof that this happened? Do you have an order of protection or not? The stories are unbelievable. And this is the psychological question that I have to ask myself all the time. What is the diagnosis of the parent who's making up these ridiculous stories about the other parent in order to then control their children and alienate the father? Just eliminate them. Just get rid of the father because they don't want them in their life. The child support check comes, the house is transferred to the mother's name, the mother has the car, the mother has the kids, the mother has the same setup and scenario she had pre-divorce, but the father is eliminated in many cases from the child's life. So the feedback that I get is negative from the alienator. They start to not be available. They have a soccer game, football game, basketball game. They can't come. The kids don't want to come. The kids are in the car. I have to go outside. They won't get out of the car. The shenanigans that go on are unbelievable. But I look at my checklist. This is part of the syndrome. They have to try to discourage me because I'm the person that's getting to the truth that the father is not the monster or is not as severe, as they've said, a danger to the children, as they've stated, right? So when I start to figure out what's going on, it becomes now a tug of war between me, the alienating parent, and the children. And a lot of times the children want to come and see me, and they want to see their father, and they want to see their mother in case that they've been alienated from their mother. But the other parent will do anything and everything they can. Now, having said that, they also get remarried. They have a new husband or wife. They have new children. Again, they're having more children. They're adding children to this family. What happens is it's so convoluted that these children that were from the original family prior to the divorce now have a new family. They have a new father. I have one boy tells me his father isn't his father. His stepfather is his father because he lives with him. Because at age 4 or 5, if you talk to a child every day and say, this is your father, look at your father, this is not the other guy, he's not your father, what's a 4-year-old going to say? this mother that they trust, this is the worst part that I hope everybody will try to understand. The psychological manipulation of the alienator is to brainwash that child, which their mind is not developed enough to say, Mom, what are you talking about? Maybe at 16, they're going to figure out that their father's not a terrible person. The stepfather came in. He's not his biological father. Good guy, but not the father. And then they turn on the mother at some point and say, why did you do this? Why have you told me these stories? Where are the memories? And then the newest case I have, I'll tell everyone now that I've kind of invented this myself. It's a diagnosis, but it's called selective amnesia, which now I'm saying that the children have. For example, I can ask them, how was your second, third, fourth, fifth birthday parties? Well, they don't remember anything usually before five. They'll tell me, I never had a birthday party. You didn't have a birthday party? Was your father there? No, my father was never there. My father never gave me a present. My father doesn't live anywhere near me. I don't know my father. So the father shows up, brings the pictures. We show the child the pictures. Maybe from birth. Maybe the father's holding the child in his arms at birth. 0, 1, 2, 3. We keep going. Vacations. Were you on this vacation with your father? No, I don't know. Maybe that's not me. We're talking really delusional now. So then I say to the father, is that you? Yes, those are your children. Yes. And then I'll say, well, how was that vacation? Well, it was terrible. And I'll say, well, I have videos. I'm looking at pictures. No, I was told to smile in the picture, but I didn't want to be on the vacation with my father. So now I've got a problem because they actually believe from what they've been told by the parent who's alienating that this is what the truth is. So when your parent tells you what the truth is, that's feeding you and taking care of you and keeping you alive, you're going to believe that, right? You're going to say, I hate my dad because my mom said she hates my dad and I never want to see him again and he's not my father. This is where it becomes difficult for me because now I have to separate out the parent and the child obviously needs individual therapy. In cases we have mild, moderate, severe, there are children with severe parental alienation syndrome that go to counseling and therapy programs inpatient to try to become debriefed, and then they bring in psychiatrists to talk to the children to explain a simple thing, that your father didn't do the things your mother said he did. So now where are we at then, though? We still have the family broken. The mother now is against everything because the mother clearly has a psychological disorder to do this to her children. Who does that? You have to, when you divorce your spouse, say, I'm divorcing my spouse, but my kids are not divorcing their father. Fathers have rights, mothers have rights. The reason I say fathers, I just started a support group on Staten Island. Everyone's welcome, male, female, grandparents, because I have a few grandparents now suffering through this syndrome. And we meet once a month and we talk about how to survive being alienated. Because when you have children in your lives, and all of you parents out there know this heart-wrenching feeling, you lose contact, you can't see them, you can't talk to them. You send a gift, it's returned. This vengeance that that parent has is so heartbreaking that these grandparents, as well as parents, come to the meetings and they sit and they just talk about what's happened to them. Most of them are in extreme shock. It's almost like a death. It's like I had these kids for 6 years in my life, every holiday, every birthday. They've hired attorneys. They've got their own attorney, as well as the father having an attorney. And you know what comes out of it? They want to understand it. They want to know, is this real? They don't know why it's happening to them. The children are so innocent in all this because they didn't initiate the problem, right? So whatever happened between the parents, oh, the cheating is to me with the vengeance for the ex who cheated on the wife and lives with the new girlfriend. I tell alienated parents, if there's a new person in the picture and they're becoming the new parent, it's going to take longer. It's going to be more difficult. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I have to give them a prognosis because that other adult starts to twist the brain of the child against the other parent. So one of the things, I could talk about this forever because right now it's becoming my life, my career, my support group. I help people. I talk to people online. I have the group that meets, but we also have our own special group on WhatsApp. It's called New Family. And I will give you the information if you're a parent that's been alienated or a grandparent. Before I digress again, one of the things that helps us is I have these divorce rules, and the rules dictate how to proceed in a divorce. And I give them a list of 20 possibilities that could be happening. And I ask the parent, is any of this going on? This is from the kid's perspective. I think a child wrote this. It's to help with cooperative co-parenting, which is difficult to do. So many of the kids will check off the list and say, my parents talk badly about each other. That's number one. Do not talk badly about my other parent. This tears the child apart. It also makes me feel bad about myself. 50% of each child is the other parent that you're talking about and describing as a monster. So think about that. Do not talk badly about my other parents, friends, or relatives. That's where the grandparents get dragged in. Let's not talk about the divorce. It's grown-up stuff. Please don't talk to me about child support and money because that is what makes kids feel super guilty. They feel like they're a possession. They're not a human being. Please don't make me feel bad when I'm enjoying my time with the other parent. Stay out of it. Do you know how many parents have to do FaceTime with their child during the other parent's parenting time and see what's going on? Why? You want to see what? You want to see the other, you want to see the girlfriend, you want to see the girlfriend's kids, you want to see where he lives. He's not in your home, he's in an apartment somewhere. What do you want to see? So they have to stay out of the visits. Do not block them from speaking to them. People play all kinds of games with phones. Oh, you can't call me. They block them on the phone. They interrupt the parenting time when the other parent has the child. And then the worst case scenario, I have a new case now. During the phone call, the FaceTime phone call, the parents start a huge fight during the visit between the father and the child. The mother jumps in and starts screaming at the father. Not acceptable. None of this is not going to help. It's going to create a scenario where the children are going to end up with a syndrome, and then they're going to need psychotherapy forever. Because they feel like they're a pawn in this game and they're being dragged from side to side. Imagine, I love my mom, I love my dad. The parent that is trying to alienate does a really good job of creating the safe haven for the child with them so that that child will never say, I want to go live with my dad. An alienator's worst nightmare is when a judge says, you have alienated your three kids from their father. I am now going to give custody to the father of the youngest child because the other two, we can't work with them. The other two have completely exiled themselves and will not speak and will not see and will not have a relationship with the dad. But I'm going to give custody to the father of the youngest. One case in all the years I've been doing this, one case the judge said, let's save one child to have a relationship with the father. It's a really serious thing that I think a lot of people don't understand. So what I'd like to do is for all of you out there listening, if you know anybody who's in this situation or this has happened to them or is happening to them, they can get in touch with me at drlisa21@gmail.com. I can link you to the support group. The name of it is New Family because it's so unfortunate, especially around the holidays. A lot of the parents, they're not going to see their child on Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving, the whole holiday season. They're not going to speak to them. The grandparents aren't going to see the kids. They won't accept gifts. Oh, presents are a nightmare. You cannot give an alienated child a present because you are bribing them to get them to talk to that other parent. So it's a rough time. If you are one of those people or know someone who's in the situation, please reach out to me. Our group is right now a group chat on WhatsApp, but we can only join you by through your cell phone number. So first contact me. I'm on Facebook, Lisa Blanchfield. You can contact me through my cell phone number, 347-882-1719. Any way that you feel is easy to connect to our new group, please let me know. And I hope in the new year, we're going to battle this syndrome and we're going to work on it. I have been asked recently to testify in family court, and I'm working towards better understanding for everyone of what this is and how it happens. It's very subtle. Sometimes it's not severe, but watch for the warning signs. The children start to state that they don't want to see the other parent, but you have to dig down deep and find out what's the reason. If it's not a legitimate reason, then the feedback you're getting from the child is probably staged. It's probably been memorized by the child. They have a whole list. They talk about things, again, that are very delusional. And then they have no empathy. The biggest problem for me is hearing that the children have no empathy for that parent who's sitting and waiting for a phone call, can't see their child, a grandparent wanting to talk and hear a child's voice. They have no understanding of what's happening to the other side. And they don't want to know. They don't want to know. They don't want to hear the evidence. They just don't care about the other parent. And that's really sad to me that you gave birth to a child, but that child doesn't want to know if you're alive, if you're well. They don't want to talk to you. So it's very discouraging, but I have hope now with our new group here in New York City that we're going to be able to reach out. There are many parental alienation groups, especially on Facebook. You can go on Facebook and just type in parental alienation all over the country and all over the world. It's a phenomenon, and it's one that's very negative towards children. So I hope this helps, and I hope that everybody is having a good holiday season, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you to New Pod City and to my team, and especially Frank Sessa. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Dr. Lisa's World. Be sure to visit her Facebook page at Dr. Lisa's World.